us, but it came at a cost. You paid that price fully, Lord, just to have us be your sons and daughters, just to have us healed by your power and might. We just give you praise, Lord. All glory, honor, adoration, and praise just redounds to your holy name, Lord. Lord, I just stand in awe of you. We stand in awe of you, Lord. Magnify your holy name. Thank you, Father, for healing, which has resulted to us, which is ours fully. And thank you, Father, for manifestation of these severally in this auditorium this morning in the name of Jesus. Freedom. Yes. Healing manifested. Awesome manner. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. I'm just so excited. How many were here last week? You were here last week? Awesome. How many have testimonies from last week? From last week, either Sunday evening, through the course of the week? How many? Manifestation of healing, walking in victory, testament to what he did and fully perfected by the cross. Anyone? Anyone here this morning? All right, so how many know that this is what we've been called to, walking in victory, based on the death and the resurrection of Jesus and the healing that has accrued to us, that is ours now, based on that sacrifice? How many know? Amen. And so I just said that to say this. This is an expectation that we should have in our daily walk. Amen. To see yourself walking more fully in the reality of that which he paid for. Amen. I don't want to digress this morning. I was about to start a different message. But I want to encourage us to keep on filling out these forms. A few words. And I know we have testimonies. But some may be shy. Some may be fearful or trepidated. Some, not necessarily in this body, but some think that if I share how I received, then all of a sudden, boom, that which you received just evaporates or just dissipates or just leaves. Not true. Not true. Don't let the enemy fool you. Don't let the enemy silence your lips. Don't let the enemy keep your mouth what? Shut. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't be fearful even in that regard. Amen. Let's talk about the book of Acts in chapter 1. Thank you, Jesus. A quick recap, if you will. I won't necessarily spend time on that. Quickly get into a preamble before what I hope will be a short message this morning. Acts in chapter 1. The formal account, I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. The formal account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. We're taking verses 1 through 3, but verse 1. Of all that Jesus, Luke speaking, writing, of all that Jesus began both to what? Do and teach. And we saw last week, friends, how that he went around all the towns, Galilee, Judea, and all around, doing what? Healing all who were oppressed, all who were sick, healing every sickness, healing every disease. We spent time on that last week. No one, not one person came to Jesus that didn't receive manifest healing in their bodies. He healed them all. Someone say all.
All.
With no exception, regardless of whatever name that infirmity was, regardless of what that disease was by nature, by implication, manifestation, as it reflected in bodies, and we saw also in the hearts as well. A good paraphrase for this, or a good something that encapsulates this, captures this so adequately, is Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with what? The Holy Ghost and with power. Who went around what?
Doing good.
doing good. What was it good? Healing all. We see that word again. Who are oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. Healing all. And so we see, friends, that oppression comes from who? Sickness comes from who? Diseases comes from where? From who? Now we need to get this understanding clear, friends, and not mistake this, not misunderstand this. All that had to do with death, and we'll find out a little, we'll find out a bit more as we continue on this morning. All of that stuff emanates, comes forth from someone. It's the enemy. It's the devil. And so Christ Jesus, while here on earth, doing God's will, because he said, I come to do your will, O God, healed all who were oppressed of the devil. God was what? With him. As he carried out divine purpose here on earth. Let's look at verse 2. We're in Acts. Acts 1. All that he began to do and teach until the day in which he was what? Taken up. After he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. Verse 3. To whom also he presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs. By whom also he presented himself alive. Our version says, by whom also he showed himself alive. The suffering here in this passage, friends, is reference, makes specific reference to something, is specific reference particularly to his death. And thank God, I give him praise forevermore. Why, friends? Because death could not hold him captive. What a glorious day. What a glorious day. Let me put it this way, friends. The weight of all your sins could not hold him bound. The weight of all our sicknesses, all our diseases placed on him, upon him, could not hold him bound in death. Could not hold him captive. After he bore it all. Just so that he could liberate you and me. So just so that he could liberate us all. Set us free. Because it is for freedom that Christ set you free. Thank you, Lord. Says he showed himself. I just love every time I see that and meditate upon it, it just blows me over. I just see it and just get lost. Short phrase. He presented himself alive. How? By many. Someone say many. Many infallible proofs. Amplified says convincing proofs. I love Amplified. It says unquestionable evidences. Yeah. He showed himself alive. Oh my. My heart keeps tugging in a different direction. Paul was so consumed by this message. By the way, I titled this message, The Report to Believe. The Report to believe. Paul said in Acts 26:26, when he stood before King Agrippa, I believe, he said, this thing was not done in a corner. This thing was not done in secret. This thing is true. This thing is real. This thing is fact. He died and he did what? He rose again. You can't shake this off, friends. You can't, no matter how the world tries to twist this, no matter how the world tries to just interplay and change things around, just, no, it's too late. On the sands of time, friends, we have the record. And beyond that, which is on the pages of the book, we have this record in our hearts by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It's too late. Something happened.
Yes.
And in coming in faith, in believing that message, we're going to jump into it shortly, friends. Something happened to you. Yes. To you, to each and every one present who has believed that report. Something happened to you. Your heart changed. Your life changed. Spiritually, yes. And physically also. Did you hear me say that?
Yes.
Hebrews in chapter 2, verse 9. We don't need to turn there. Hebrews in chapter 2, verse 9. It says, but we see Jesus made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. Why? Because what was set before him was so that he might, through grace, taste death for every man. That by the grace of God, he might taste death for every man. The suffering, friends, is the suffering of death. To whom he showed himself, presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs. It is important, friends, to understand and appreciate this remarkable victory over death in the context of healing. It's important to have this secure in your heart. It is important to have this entrenched in your heart. It is important to have this grounded there and garrisoned there. Locked up, secure, anchored. Great victory.
Amen.
You know, at healing school separately, I teach here often, and so do many instructors and teachers here as well, powerful men and women of God whom we've been blessed by and blessed with in this body here at House on the Rock. And in teaching and sharing and instructing on healing, there are passages that we make reference to and touch on that may not necessarily have direct impact or implication on healing specifically, but by insight, by revelation, by correlation, we're able to show how that these have imprint, have impact as it relates to healing and walking in divine health. And we do that constantly, teaching the truth as revealed in the face of Jesus. But I stand boldly this morning to say, friends, as it concerns healing, as it concerns walking in divine health, I've come to see, understand, and appreciate two passages that could not more emphatically express, convey, pass on, pass across the truth and the reality of healing based on the atonement, of healing based on the death and the resurrection of Jesus, of healing based on that substitutionary sacrifice. And Isaiah in chapter 53, First Peter 2:24. I'm saying this morning, friends, don't be swayed by the opinion of the world. Don't be swayed by what is out there staring us in the face, of which sometimes the enemy tries to use physical signs and physical symptoms also, reports from different and varying quarters to sway our hearts from the truth that Jesus already paid the price, that he bore it all. Let's turn to Isaiah in chapter 53. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The report to believe. Oh, my doskari evados. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Isaiah in chapter 53, verse 1. Who has believed our report? Did you see that? Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? And we're going to see the download here shortly as the Holy Ghost set it forth expressly. Who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed as it relates to salvation? Because till tomorrow there's only one way. Only one way. For there's no other name given unto man by which we what? Must be saved. And it's not just based on anything that is spurious. It's not just based on, oh, okay, just something happened. An event occurred. What's this report as it refers to salvation? In his death is your life. I'm putting it in simple terms. Simple terms. Nutshell, if you like. In his death is your life. In his death is your deliverance. In his death is your safety. In his death is your deliverance. In his death is your healing. Why am I emphasizing death? Why? Because we know what resulted afterwards. I shared that earlier. Death could not hold him captive. He died and he rose again. In victory. And he calls us all to walk in the reality of that victory based on the finished work of the cross. The report to believe is not that from the doctors. As heart pulling as that may be, because you see something and then something jars up in you. Something prickles. Maybe fear rises up. Maybe doubt rises up. Maybe some unbelief mixed in there. Something jumps. Maybe it's a test that's come back. Not so positive, not so good. Maybe it's something that comes back after a surgery. Something. Varying reports, diverse. Or maybe it's not even something from the professionals. Maybe you just share something with a classmate, a colleague, or workmate, and then they begin to project things onto you and say, oh, this is what it must be because I had this and this, and so this is what you have. And then something just grips your heart. Fear just grips you. Not those kinds of reports, friends. This is a report that needs to be established in your heart and anchored there so that nothing will by any means move you. Amen. Or cause you to sway in your stance, in your standing in faith, as it concerns that matter. Amen. We're at Isaiah chapter 53. Let's read on. Thank you, Jesus. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness that when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Verse 3. Hear me read. And I'm going to read based on the originals. Hear me read. Look into your Bibles. He is despised and rejected of men. I'm at verse 3. A man of pains and acquainted with sicknesses. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Verse 4. Surely he has borne our sicknesses and carried our pains. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and what? Afflicted. Here's something I want to say, friends. It's possible that from the majority of our traditional translations, the thought, the spirit, the revelation as it concerns truth of what transpired on that cross is sometimes hidden, is sometimes not so apparent, is sometimes not so clear based on the words utilized. Based on the words utilized, it's possible that in a good number of our traditional translations of the Bible, that it doesn't become so clear at first glance or just face value. But the truth of the matter is, friends, as it concerns that sacrifice, as it concerns what occurred on that cross, as it concerns the reason why Jesus came, at the core or the heart of that message was healing. Is healing. Because God's heart has not changed from time concerning his people, concerning his children, concerning his sons and daughter, that they be well, that they be in well-being, that they be in soundness of health, that they be in health. that they be healed. And this characterized the ministry of Jesus while he walked on the face of this earth. It was central to his ministry. In preaching the gospel of the kingdom, he was healing all through. How many know there are limitations? Someone says, what? Concerning Jesus? Yes, we saw that in Matthew 9, and we'll touch on that before I close today. What do I mean by limitations? We're going to see it. I'm not just saying it. Limitations of time and space. You know why? He said, the harvest is plenty. When he kept healing and healing and healing, and he looked upon them, saw them desolate, saw them discouraged, saw them. We talked on this last week, so I don't want to keep going back to that. You can listen to the message. Here's what it is. I'm going to fulfill divine purpose. I'm going to die and resolve this issue once and for all. We're going to see in the next verse the issue of what? Because there's a root cause, friends, for sickness, disease, and every debilitating thing that we see that occurs that is prevalent in this world. There's a root cause. And Jesus had to deal with that root cause in order to be able to fully liberate us all. So, not sure what I just said. Verses 3 and 4, clearly from Isaiah 53, touch on healing. And this is important because when Matthew in writing, stay with me now, when Matthew in writing wrote in Matthew in chapter 8, when he surveyed all that Jesus had done and was doing all through the course of his ministry, he said something, Matthew 8, 16 and 17. You can put that down, check it up later. When evening was come, they brought to him all that were demon-possessed. The Bible reveals that he cast out those spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, so that it might be fulfilled, which was written by Isaiah the prophet, saying what? He himself took what? Our infirmities and bore our what? And bore our sicknesses and bore our diseases. He himself did that. Referring to Isaiah 53. I just said all of that to say this. Healing is necessarily implicated in Isaiah in chapter 53. Amen. Let's get a grasp of this, friends. Let's get this anchored in our hearts and in our souls and in our minds. Let's not dabble around. Oh, is healing there? Is healing not there? Were we healed? Or are we about to get healed? No, you were healed. Yes. I'm not just saying that. The Bible reveals that. The Holy Ghost has expressly expressed that. Why are we prevaricating? Why are we going up back and forth? And I'm not saying that necessarily about individuals in this room, but I'm saying in the body, this seems to be prevalent. But the truth is the truth and can't be changed. He died and he resurrected. That's why for me, I wish I could just open up my heart and just lay bare. As far as I'm concerned, it's too late. I make reference to that. That's how I have it in my heart. It's too late for anything, any sickness, any symptom, any sign, anything said by any individual to tell me different, to try to prove something different. As real, as true as the fact that he died and he resurrected is as real and as true as the fact that he healed me by his cross. Why? Because God made provision that way. So that anyone who believes can come into that the fullness of that reality. 1 Peter 2:24, by whose stripes you were healed. Let's look at verse 5. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our soundness in body was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. The chastisement for our wellness in body, the chastisement for our soundness in body. Someone says, what's he talking about? That's part of what I was talking about initially. How that in some of our traditional translations, we miss out on meanings. And you can study this out by reverting to the originals. You can study this out. You can see it clearly. I'm saying it is a good thing that our hearts be established with the truth of healing as revealed on the cross. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That word, stripes, if you look at the originals, I'm not going to pronounce, that doesn't matter. But every word utilized to explain or to describe that word stripes in the original is singular in nature. Did you hear me say that? Stripes from the originals. There's the word wound. Is the word blow? Is the word stripe? Is the word bruise? The words utilized to describe stripes in the Hebrew and in the Greek from 1 Peter 2:24, singular in nature. And what does that tell me? What does that tell my heart? Yes, by his stripes we were healed, and by stripes also is implicated. Oh, the whips and the cudgels and everything that Jesus went through. By those stripes, yes. We are and we were healed, yes. But also, in my heart, and I'm sharing this with us today, is also the truth and the revelation of the fact that the word stripes, based on what is seen from the originals, also indicates that it's a totality, friends. It's the sum totality of all that he suffered. So that the word stripes is also descriptive of everything he went through in general for the suffering of death. The many slaps received, the crown of thorns placed on his head. The crown of thorns were not just placed on his head gingerly. So that, oh, it's just like a crown. It looks so good. Just gingerly. Oh, just no. Press down and crushed in. His visage marred beyond recognition. It's not, we're not talking about trifling things that he went through here. The beatings at the hand of the leaders. Beatings from the Sanhedrin, that is the highest ruling council back in the day for the Jews. And then those at the hands of Pilate, and then so many other things suffered at the hands of the Roman soldiers, which I'm not necessarily going to go into for the purpose of this message. But friends, how many know that in all of this, he didn't go through this for his sin or for his sins? The price he paid was not for anything he did. The stripe, let me say this, the stripe of divine judgment placed on him. The price to set you and me free. How do I know? 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he had made him who what? Knew no sin. He knew none. Vicarious sacrifice, that is a sacrifice, suffering, something received in the place of another, something suffered in the place of another because of our sins. Our sins he paid for, he bore. Our sicknesses and diseases he carried. Our pains, our griefs, our sorrows he carried on that cross, just so that he could do what? Set us free. Amen. Just so that he could set us free. Yeah. And set us free, friends, he did. Someone says, oh, talking about a stroke or a stripe of divine judgment, what does that mean? Let's scroll down Isaiah 53, look at verse 10. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. When you get home, you can spend time in this passage and allow the Holy Spirit just open things up to you personally by way of revelation in a personal way. And I tell you, your outlook is bound to change, friends. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When he made his soul, what? An offering for sin. He shall see his seed, shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. When Jesus went to that cross, friends, he necessarily destroyed the hold of sin, the root cause of sin. Because how many know in Genesis in chapter 3, we're talking about sickness and disease and how that gained entrance into this world and into the reality of humanity. You see the tragic event of man's fall as by Adam. And how that we all partook in that by nature. So that all sinned. And that brought, opened the floodgates, as it were, for sickness, for disease, and every negative, for every foul thing in that regard, to have hold, have sway, and just be at play in any way, every way, shape, or form. So he necessarily had to nip that. He had to address the root cause, which was sin. And he did that by his cross. He made atonement for that. So that there's deliverance in that regard. We're set free. He did that, friends. By conquering our sins by his death and resurrection, he necessarily also conquered sickness and disease. So now, as he walked on the face of the earth at that time, healing all by his death. It's okay. It's open now to all who would do what? All who would do what?
Believe.
All who would believe. To come into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. To come into the glorious liberty as God's children. Such an honor, such a privilege. So huge. It's awesome. So here's what I'm saying this morning, friends, as it regards this and why I'm bringing this way. Last week, I was talking about how that oftentimes we get engrossed with our own situation as it concerns healing and health and how to walk in this reality. And we spend good time here at Healing School and at Hot Rock in this regard. And we'll continue to. And I want to encourage us, from May the 5th, we're going to move into the gallery over there with Healing School. We're going to touch more on these things in practical ways, application, how to work this out. But for the purpose of this message, I want to point, as it were, a different slant, which is part of Healing School, in the area of ministering healing also to others. Here's the thrust of what I was saying last week, and I want to continue on and just tidy this up today. The report which we have believed is not just a report that has you at the center of it, but that has you as being central. The benefit is for you, is for me, yes, to richly enjoy healing that he paid for. But this report is also to be sounded out with loud acclaim. And I'm saying here this morning, we do not need to be afraid to say, oh, what about me? Because there's a clarion call, friends. There's a clarion call I'm going to touch on, which we're going to look at as it concerns this report and the truth as revealed in this report is to be sounded out. You know why? Religion has gone ahead in the sphere of time and has spread. There's so much teaching out there that does not emphasize the fact that Christ paid the price for healing. Many believe, oh, I'm saved, yes, but healing, live it up to time and chance, Some go as far as sovereignty. Well, he chooses not. You know, we'll touch more on these things as we go through our classes. But it's good for us to be established in the present truth that he paid the price for your healing. That healing is now is yours and is yours richly to enjoy. Having said that, there's also an outward posture. Not getting engrossed or obsessed with your own situation, but I'm going to share something that I've seen happen time and time again. I'll give a couple of examples with this thrust. Let's get back to Matthew in chapter 9. Matthew 9. Thank you, Lord. Matthew in chapter 9. We're at 35, but for sake of time, basically, let me just paraphrase this. So he went around healing all, and then he saw that they were disgruntled, discouraged, desolate. And he saw they looked to him like people, like sheep without shepherd. And look at what he says next, verse 37. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is what? Plentiful. But the laborers are few. It says, therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his field. This he said, in my estimation, to spike up the zeal and the enthusiasm of the disciples. You know why, friends? Immediately after he said that, this is not just a religious prayer to say, oh, Lord, send out people, and then we get to sit and chill and fold our arms and just relax. We who have come to hear this truth, we who have come to believe the truth that we're convinced by, then there's feet to this, friends. There's movement in this. As far as sharing this message, as far as carrying this report, as far as carrying this good news, by any and every means necessary, whether by words of mouth, whether by action, whether by conversation, whether by conduct, it's not until there's that call to say, oh, go to Jakarta in Indonesia. Oh, go to Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia. It's not things like that. It's at your workplace. It's at your home, by your neighbor. It's at your school. It's by that in that gym. It's in that the place for the mechanic. Here's what I'm saying as it concerns healing. I've seen this happen, and I just want to share this quickly as we close. I shared to gaze on Jesus. How many of you know when you in relationship, in that place of intimacy, in that place of communion with the Father of Spirits, when you gaze on Jesus, enjoying fellowship and communion with him, guess what he does in time? What he flashes his searchlight on. Most times it's not just to you directly. Oftentimes it's to others. It's to other people. People who are hurting. People who are lost, people who are quagmired in unbelief, people who are destitute of the truth, in love. And I'm saying to us this morning, we don't have to be worried about the state of our own bodies. We don't have to be obsessed about, oh, what's going on in my body? Because when you pay attention to him in love and he puts your gaze and attention on someone else and you minister in love to that individual, I'm saying you see healing break out in your own body, in your own situation, in all your own circumstance. I've seen that happen time and time and time again. Back at the hotel, we were at the School of the Supernatural. Brother came up, hook up with someone. I loved that time. And great time, awesome. And it continues. Keep coming to the classes. Oh, pray with a brother. Had a shoulder pain, serious. He couldn't lift up his hands. I prayed with him, ministered to him. Healed by the power of God. He started doing, you know, what he couldn't do. Lifting up his hands and shaking and everything. Healed by the power of God. Stepped out of that classroom, heading to the bathroom. I did. And then a brother steps up to me and says, sir, pastor, I perceive that you have a pain somewhere on your arm and your shoulder. He said the left one. I said, oh, yeah, I did. But it's on the right, it was on the right side, I said. I had a pain, but that thing had just dissipated. It was now so faint. I myself had been carrying a pain. I ministered to someone, received healing. And then he said, oh, yes, maybe because he turned, he said, he laid hands on me. Right there and then, instantly vanquished. So easy. Less than two weeks ago, I was at the car shop doing something, sat down, just, you know, loving on the Lord and reading. And then a guy started a conversation with a guy. I'm not going to mention his name. We shared with God talking. At the end of that exercise, showed love on the brother, not saved. Walking out, I shared on Jesus. Walking out of the car show. He was leaving prior to me. His vehicle was all sorted. I said, sir, I perceive that there's just something. The Holy Ghost is just showing me that there's something. He says, yeah, I'm actually going to go home now and rest tomorrow. I'm going to go back to the doctors. I have pneumonia. I said, oh, you got pneumonia? Well, praise God. I said, praise God. He said, oh, praise God that he was ill. No, praise God because another opportunity. Laid hands on the man, prayed with him right then. I said, brother, you get back to me right now, you receive. Here's what I'm saying, friends. In doing that, I was spotting wrist pains that just went up all the way to my elbow on the right-hand side. I laid hands on this man, pneumonia, healed by the power of God, I believe, strictly. And then I got home. By the end of that day, my own situation, from my wrist to the elbow, healed by the power of God. I'm saying, friends, you do not have to be afraid or overly concerned about your own situation. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you about the next man? What's the Holy Spirit saying to you about the next woman? I'm talking about carrying this report, having it anchored in your soul and carrying it everywhere you go. Oh my, I can point to individuals here who walk in faith in this way, who go out and minister. I'm not saying, oh, do it as a religion, so I've got to hit the streets. No, I'm saying right where you are at that workplace, right where you are mowing, whatever it is that you're doing in the library, at the bank. I can give you example after example after example, and I personally have received that way by ministering to others. Yes. Carrying coal. Carrying blocked things. Pow! Sorted by the power of God. Amen. This is the report to believe, friends. Amen. Unquestioned evidences based on the fact that he died and he resurrected. So awesome. Amen. Used by God in an off-the-meter way. It's not... Let's have this approach. It's, like I said, it's not a religious prayer. Oh, send out. No. Guess what? I talked about limitation of time and space, but guess who represents and stands as Jesus in this day and age, in this time, in this locality that we live in? You. Why? How? Having his power, having his life, having his nature, having Holy Spirit, having his authority. These are things we're going to keep espousing in the gallery come May 5th. We're going to chop it up, friends. That's why it's classes. We're going to chop it up. Chop, chop. God's word. Break it down. Bite-sized pieces. You take it and you run. By the power of God. Long time you've been looking at that neighbor with a back issue. Holy Ghost can minister to you. Go do something or say a word. We don't have to preach lengthy messages. Prayer ministers, would you? Prayer team members, come up. Hallelujah. God is in this place. He is risen indeed. He paid the price. Healing is yours. Healing is now. But for this message emphasis, I wanted to just shift that focus away from self, in love to others. There's unbelief out there in the world. And like I said, religion has gone ahead. Spread like wildfire. Brother told me that this morning he was watching on TV. I'm not going to mention names, but you know, a certain denomination with a large broadcast and mainstream media was carrying it. Why? Why? Friends, I hate to put it this way, but let me say it this way. The truth, as it concerns healing and health, based on salvation, as revealed on the pages of the book, as revealed in the face of Jesus, in our time, in our day, in our age, in our city, in our country, around the world, is scarce. S-C-A-R-C-E. Scarce. I know I didn't get the pronunciation right, so I had to spell it so that you get the message. I'm fine with that. I'm secure in who I, don't worry about that. But that's why I had to spell it. The truth is not common. It's not common. I don't care how many people bandy religion and faith. Let's run with this report. Let's run with this message and see change, visible change in our own lives as we do that. Let's rise, every soul. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Fired up for Jesus. I don't care about whatever name that disease. I say this time and time again. Doesn't matter. Not because I don't have care or heart of care or heart of love, but just because compared to the cross, compared to the sacrifice that was made, it pales into insignificance. Why? Because it was paid for and is healed. Is anyone here in need of ministry agreement as it concerns a condition, however slight, or you're receiving victory, but there's just that last portion or part of it, just maybe it's just somewhere in the background and you're trying to walk with it, live with it. I'm saying it stops now. I'm saying that drops off now. I'd love for you to just make your way forward and join up with one of these powerful prayer team members, and they'll just agree with you in faith, stand in faith, and you just see that thing drop off so easy. You walk away without it. Doesn't matter how long you've had it or carried it, it's done away with in the name of Jesus. Is it a heart condition? Something heavy on your heart like a burden? Heavy on your heart like a burden. The word that just came to my heart now was something related to finances. But even that gets healed. Even that was provided for. I know this is healing school, but that's fine. Thank you, Lord. Make hay, friends. It's done. Father, I just thank you for this time. Thank you, Father, for victory which you have in you. Thank you, Lord, for this good news, glad tidings of great joy. You died to set me free. You died to set us free, and I'm free. We're free. We're healed. We're delivered. We're prosperous. We're set free. We're made whole. Soundness of health, soundness in mind and heart is ours in the name of Jesus. And I just thank you for this, Lord. Thank you, Father, for manifestations visibly, tangibly in this room this morning. I give you all the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We'll be back in time for the service at 10:45.